Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, please. And let's see something that Paul said for us not to get into. Okay? So, in the church problems and church wars that go on, don't get into this, because they had little mini church wars in Corinth. One wanted to follow Apollos, another one wanted to follow Paul, another one wanted to follow Cephas, and others said, well, we're better than you all, we're going to follow Christ. See? All right. And what they were doing, and they had these fights back and forth within the congregation, and Paul said, where do divisions and things come among you? Is it not that you're carnal? He said, I tried to talk to you spiritual, but I couldn't do it. Okay. So he follows up with this. Let's begin in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. So then let every man regard us, that is, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, world, life, death, and so forth, the last verse up there in chapter 3, as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. See? Now, this is important for every minister to understand. Everyone who's teaching or an elder is this. You have not been granted a position above the brethren. Now, we all need to understand, what is a steward? Today, we don't think much of it, but a steward was a position of trust, and you were given sole authority over another person's possessions to make them grow and increase. None of it belonged to the steward. And as we saw earlier about what Peter wrote, you're not to rule over the brethren as if they are your possessions. They don't belong to any minister. They don't belong to a corporate church that they attend to. That's just where they happen to meet. They belong to God the Father and Jesus Christ. See? So, we need to view this as God's possession, God's heritage. And he's chosen men to do the teaching. He's chosen men to lead them, to teach them for what? That we can all become like Christ. Isn't that true? It's sufficient that the disciple become as the teacher, right? Okay, so in church wars, all of that's thrown out the windows, and Paul is trying to bring them back to their senses here. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Beyond that, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. But to me, it's an insignificant matter that I am judged by you or by man's standard. Neither do I judge myself. Well, he did by God's word, but he himself didn't judge himself. See? Now, I am not conscious of anything against myself, yet I am not justified by this, for the one who is judging me is the Lord. Therefore, do not judge anything before the time. And that's what happens when you get into church wars. You got to judge this. You got to judge that. Where do you stand for here? Where do you stand for that? Well, it's like we were discussing about the Mayan calendar during lunch. And everybody's going to get all excited, 2012 and the Mayan calendar. And Gil, who's doing some translating into Spanish for us, said he was talking to some brethren in Mexico, and they were all excited about the Mayan calendar. And they said, well, you know, the Mayans quit counting at 2012. You know what his answer was? Jesus hasn't quit counting. See? Okay. Okay. So we don't judge things before the time. Don't get caught up into who's right and who's wrong. Pray for them that every one of us will get right with Christ. Isn't that the whole goal? Yes. So it's a shame that these things have to happen. Okay. Therefore, do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the motives of all hearts. Then shall each one receive praise from God. Now these things, brethren, I have applied to Apollos and myself for your sakes, that in us you may learn not to think of men beyond what is written. Don't get exalted in personality. So that no one among you is puffed up on behalf of one of us against the other. See? God doesn't want that. That's what was happening there in Corinth, you see. And what makes you superior to others? And what do you have that you did not receive? Because everything in life we have comes from God. All the physical, all the spiritual, everything. But if you also received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? Now notice how this fits in with the Laodiceans, okay? Now you are satiated. Now you've been enriched. Now you have reigned without us. You've already made it into the kingdom. No, that's not true, see. So Paul says, I would that you did reign, so that we might also reign with you. Notice what he says about the apostles. For I suppose that God made us apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. See, so that gives us an insight on what we need to do here. Okay, let's come back to the Laodiceans. Back here to Revelation 3. See, whenever we get puffed up concerning anything, then we start walking down the road of trouble. Now, my wife, Dolores, has burned in my brain one little spot back here, okay, because she said, we've lived through enough of the vanity of ministers strutting back and forth, and we don't need that any longer. So she always tells me, Fred, just talk, okay? Just talk, because people can be instructed, and we can all learn. See, the whole thing is we are all to be uplifted with the Spirit of God, built on Christ. We want to have everyone built so that they have the character of God that is like gold. Isn't that what we want? That's the best thing? Yes. And you can't do it on vanity, and you can't do it by thinking how good you are, and you can't do it by thinking how wealthy you are. You can't do it like Hezekiah did and said, well, look, boy, all of this happened. Now I'm going to show them all, everything that there is. God says that's being puffed up. Well, Laodiceans are puffed up. All right. Let's come back here to Revelation 3 and verse 18. So here's what God is telling us when we have the troubles. See? Now some of what is going on, in addition to what we've covered with the church wars, some of what is going on is God is spewing them out of his mouth, doing to them exactly what he did to Hezekiah. Put him out there on his own to see what he would do. Well, Hezekiah humbled himself. Well, that's what's happening today. Put them out there, let them fight among themselves, and let's see who comes to me, and let's see who humbles him or herself. That's what it's all about. See? God loves them. God wants them. But there are lessons we all need to learn. See? So pray for them. Ask God to help them. Ask God to help bring those who rule with an iron fist over the brethren to repentance. See? Ask those who add to the work, ask for those who add to the word of God to repent. See, the whole thing is repentance and our relationship with God. That's what he's saying here to the Laodiceans. So he says, I counsel you to buy from me. See? Gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments, the righteousness of the saints, so that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. See, because isn't this all nonsense that's going on? Yes. and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. That requires repentance and getting close to God. God, help me to see. Because when we get carried away with our vanity and we get carried away in personalities and we get carried away in justifying of the self, we get carried away in fighting back and forth, you know, and memos and letters and you didn't do this and you didn't do that and who, what happens? We get all puffed up and God says, hey, I'm going to back off and let you work it out, see what you're going to do, you see. So we all need eye salve to see correctly. So that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. This is what we need to do. Come back to Christ. Receive of His Spirit. Humble yourself before God. Now here's the sad thing of it. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, the door of your mind. Okay. If anyone hears my voice, you have to make yourself to hear, and opens the door, you have to come back to Christ and say, oh God, here I am. Forgive me for my foolishness and my laziness and all the things, for being rich and increased with goods and thinking that this made me spiritual and fighting one person against another and taking sides here and rejecting over there. And all of this sort of thing, you see. Open the door and let Christ come in. He says, and I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I can also take that and say, this applies to the Protestants, right? Isn't God working in the churches of the Protestants to tear it down? Yes, so that they may seek God. So he's there knocking on the door. Why are you keeping Sunday? Why are you keeping the holidays? Why are you doing away with the Word of God? To bring them back to Him. Because remember where we started. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness, correct? Do the Protestants name the name of Christ? Sure they do. Has God rejected them? As long as there's life, there's hope. Can they repent? Yes. Does God want them to repent? Yes. Will they repent? That's their choice. Same way with the churches of God. Now notice verse 21. To the one who overcomes, I will give his authority to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Not something. Jesus had to overcome. He can help us to overcome. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, during the break, Brian came up and brought a couple scriptures to me, which I think fit in real fine right here. Okay? Let's come to Isaiah 58. One of these days, I'm going to give a New Testament sermon from Isaiah. Remember what Paul told Timothy? That you have known the holy script, the holy writings, which are the Old Testament, from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ? So I'll bring that one of these days. But here, Isaiah 58. Okay? Now this applies to the people of God, all the Israelites. This applies to the people of who named the name of Christ and think they're Christian. This applies to the churches of God. So you see, it's very broad, and it does apply very directly to the Laodiceans. So let's read it. Verse 1, cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a ram's horn, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That has to be part of the gospel that we preach. And oh, by the way, with Church at Home, we have what, 106 or 107 online now? Yeah, Randy has been really improving and getting the editing up and really running good. And we went over some of them yesterday. And we want to reach out to those who are wondering in the world, Lord, what should I do? You know, how many saw that latest ad about Dorito chips? Did you see the ad? Yeah, the non-denominational minister, and he's sitting there at the desk, and his assistant comes in, and he says, oh, look at all these bills. We don't know what to do and how to pay for them. He says, I got an idea. So for communion services, instead of just a little bread, they had a bag of Doritos. And a lot of people came in, you know, Doritos are good, you know. Okay, and one man said, where is the other bread? See, okay. So God wants them to repent too, see? All right. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and seem eager to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They seem eager to draw near to God. But how? Their way. See, has to be God's way. Remember where we started? Lest you add to the word of God and you are found to be a liar. A liar. Okay. And they say, why have we fasted and you did not see? Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, is the answer, in the day of your fast you pursue your business and exploit all your workers. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You cannot fast as you do this day and expect to make your voice to be heard on high. See, you have to come to God with repentance. That's why all the way through Revelation 2 and 3 says what? Repent. Is not this rather the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed ones go free, and that you break every yoke? Now, you can apply that in many ways. You can apply that to the government. You can apply that to churches. You can apply that to dictatorial governments within the Church of God and everything like that as well. Is it not to give your bread to the hungry and that you should bring home the wandering poor? When will you see the naked and cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Now, if you do that, notice, what is encouraging in all of these things is what? Repentance. That's what he says to the Laodiceans. Repent. I love you. Open the door. I will come in. Now, notice what happens. Verse 8. Then shall your light break out as the dawn, and your health shall spring out quickly, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take the yoke away from among you, and the pointing of the finger, and speaking malice, does that not describe church wars? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in darkness and your gloom shall become as noonday. And the Lord shall always guide you and satisfy your soul in dry places, etc., etc., etc. And then it gets down to, how do you do it? You start keeping the Sabbath the way that it should be kept. All right? Now, let's come back to where everyone likes to go to, and let's see that this is the goal that all the churches need to aim at. Back to Revelation 3. Now we're ready to talk about the Philadelphians. Okay? Now this shows us what we need to be doing, and shows us that we are living in the end times when these things are going to develop. So let's pick it up here in verse 7. Revelation 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David. And the key of David is the understanding of the Word of God, because you have a right relationship with God. Remember what happened when David sinned? God had to punish him after that. Who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. God is going to make it possible to do what he wants us to do. God doesn't want us running down the road saying, oh, this is the work of God, you got to bless it because I say it's the work of God. God may look down here and say, who are you? Did I send you? Hey, no. Let's just expand a little bit on the key of David. Let's put it this way. The key of David is a right heart toward God, which then gives understanding for the word of God. That would be the best summary I could make of it here, okay? And as a result of that, then God opens and no man shuts, and God shuts and no man opens. Okay. Now, verse 8. I know your works. Every one of us have works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it because you have a little strength. We understand who we are. We're no big muckety-mucks. We're just the people of God. And have kept my word. That's the important thing. Keeping the word of God. Keeping the sayings of Jesus Christ. Keeping all the things that God tells us we need to do. And have not denied my name. How do you deny the name of Christ? Hold your place here and let's come to Titus, the first chapter, okay? Titus, the first chapter. Just a few pages back, not very many, about 5 or 6 max. Titus, the first chapter, okay? Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 5. For this cause I left you in Crete, so that you might set in order the things that needed to be done, and might ordain elders in every city as I commanded you. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of debauchery or rebellion, for it is obligatory that as God's steward and overseer be blameless, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not a bully, not greedy for material gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, sound-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. So if anyone wants to be an elder or teacher, start looking at the qualifications here, you see. And if you already are, then make sure you're living up to the standard, see. Because it's not, this is for the start. Yes, it's for the start, but it's also all the way through your whole life, is it not? Yes. But hospitable, a lover of good, sound-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding steadfastly the faithful word. And that's what the Philadelphians do. They keep the word of God and they hold fast, faithfully to the word, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, so that he may be able to encourage with sound doctrine and to convict those who are gainsayers. All right? For there are many rebellious and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party, whose mouths must be stopped, who are subverting whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of filthy gain, selfish gain, rather. And then one among them, even one of their own prophets, said, Cretans are always liars and evil wild beasts and lazy gluttons. These are really big-time Laodiceans here. Okay. This testimony is true. For this reason, you must rebuke them severely that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men which turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Rather, both their minds and consciences are defiled. They personally profess to know him, but in works they deny him. See, so it's not the profession. It's how do you live. It's not what you think. It's how you do. They deny him, being abominable and disobedient and reprobate unto every good work. And what did Jesus say to all the churches. I know your works, correct? Yes. So it says back here to the Philadelphians, and have not denied my name. Now that means not only verbally, but that means in action, that means in deed. So because of that, now this is very interesting, isn't it? Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who proclaim themselves to be Jews, that is, they are the ones who have the insight to God and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to worship us, but they will come before our feet and worship God. Now, who are these people? Okay. Says they're the synagogue of Satan. These are the super international elite today, and that's their God. These are the ones who are formulating all things leading to the world government. Now, can you imagine this? Okay. George Soros, Uncle Ben Bernanke, you know, Rockefeller, Geithner, whoever you want to put in there, whoever's over in Europe, who's ever over in China, or whatever nation they're in, because they're in all nations, they're going to come before us. And they're going to have access to God through us. Isn't that something? We, the ones that were despised, we, the ones who were rejected, we, the little pawns of the world whom they use to lift themselves up to their high positions, you see. Not going to be something? So don't feel oppressed by the elite. Remember this. Their day's coming. Christ knows all about it. He'll take care of it. We stay right with God. You don't get mad and run off, you know, like people do and say, well, we got to get rid of these people. We got to get rid of those people. We have to get rid of the other people. Christ has to take care of it. He will when he returns. So the answer is, we be faithful and we'll be there to do it. See? Now notice what he says. He says here, the reason this is going to happen, see, is so that they will know that I have loved you. God loves us. Remember that. You get up in the morning, your hair all in a frazzle, your eyes hardly open, you know, and you look in the mirror and you say, is that me? The older you get, more often you say that, right? God loves you. Now, you have to clean up and all that sort of thing. You do. But God loves you regardless, you see. So remember that. Never, ever, ever, ever get down and think there's no hope. Get down and think that God doesn't care for you. Get down and think that God has rejected you. Now, maybe you're going through a trial, but he hasn't rejected you. Just remember, he loves you. You pray to him and ask for a way out. You pray to him and you ask, God, help me. Give me direction. Show me what I need to do. Help me to think. Help me to do what I need to do. God will. He'll answer that prayer. See? Because he loves us. Our response to God, verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, always keeping the word of God continually, I will also keep you from the time of temptation, which is about to come upon the whole world, to try those that dwell upon the earth. So this is a worldwide event. And what is that going to be? That will be the mark of the beast, not the tribulation. The mark of the beast comes right at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? But God is going to keep us from that. Exactly how he's going to do it, we don't know. But he's going to. Then he says this, verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast that which you have so that no one may take away your crown. Because there are men out there who are not working for God, who are pretenders, who want to come and take your crown. That's why not to get involved in church wars. Let God take care of it. Let Christ take care of it. He is the head of the church. He will do it. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast that which you have, so that no one may take away your crown. The one who overcomes. Now notice. Notice this blessing. Notice how great this is going to be. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out anymore. I will write upon him the name of my God. See, rather than the name of the beast and the number of the beast and so forth, there's a direct parallel here, you see. There are three things. With the mark of the beast, you have to have the mark, you have to have the number, you have to have the name. Three things, right? Okay, notice three things here. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Those three things. That's what God wants to do. So when we look about and we see all the things that are going on, let's remember the message to the seven churches. Okay? When we're looking at prophecy, what is yet to be fulfilled, remember the seven churches. And so that we can take all of the admonitions to change and correct and repent, so we can take all of the encouragement, so we can draw close to God, so that we can be faithful in everything we do. And then at the resurrection, because a lot of us, there's going to be more time, and a lot of us are going to find our places of safety in the grave. Either way, when the resurrection comes, what do we want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, well, we've had a long day. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.